The following program is intended for mature audiences.
You're listening to Bottom Shelf Recording Talk.
Sounds boring.
Oh my, yeah.
With your hosts, James Seabrook.
Okay, you were paying attention, but the idea is clear in my head, but translating it into English is not. That's brutal. I understand the hypocrisy.
And Joey Roach.
I don't even know what you do. I was just told you were the man. Some people would say I'm overconfident. That could be my ego talking, though.
I'm trying to think of the right word.
Oh. Yeah. Must be a tough word. Next subject.
You're bored with this one?
You don't hear us gassing on about it.
Keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories,
you have a big mouth.
Here's a good idea.
What are you even talking about?
Have a point.
Why are you airing personal matters with complete strangers?
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And he's back just in time.
Just in time.
Not at all like that grizzled radio vet that makes it back from his cigarette break right when the commercial is over and he sits down and starts talking. Welcome back to NR 92 Nate radio station, blah, blah, blah.
He probably gets like an internal clock going.
An internal clock?
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Like he probably has a habit.
Maybe.
That's how. Yeah. I would guess.
They also play the stations around the building, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they know when commercial break is over. Oh, here's the sting, and I got 15 seconds. Run, run, run.
15 seconds. Okay, that's enough for like a single drag.
Yeah. I'll throw it in Frank's coffee as I'm going by. Something like that.
It sounds like a cartoon character.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever met Brian Hall?
I don't see anyone being that big of a dick to
another. Have you ever met Brian Hall?
No.
So he doesn't do the cigarette thing. I don't think he smokes anyway. Old man. But he would, when I was working at Chorus, he would wander around through people's offices and help himself to their treats. Whatever stuff they had lying around food-wise in their desk or not, including several times got caught with his fingers inside someone's jar of peanut butter.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah, he was an entertaining chap, for sure. I mean,
that's less dickish than throwing your
cigarette butt
in someone's coffee.
No, because you can replace the coffee. You got to throw out the jar of peanut butter.
If you're that concerned about it, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not a germaphobe, so I'd just probably be like, whatever.
I'm not a germaphobe. I'm a spitophobe.
See, that doesn't bug me all that much. That's unless fair. It's like, you know, they snotted all over the stuff.
Yeah, but how do you know?
Yeah, I guess.
I would assume. It's totally fine if it's my own snot and it gets in things.
Oh, yeah.
I can deal with that.
All right.
But someone else's?
What did you want to talk about this week?
Right, we never discussed. We did our usual show prep. Instead,
there's no way this past week I would have got any prep done anyway, even if you told me to like research this.
I know, because you have such a busy life.
It was Canada Day weekend, man.
So
that was like starting Monday. I had to like set up things.
So
I didn't want to do anything when I got off work.
And that's exactly your point.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You work an 8, 9, 10 hour day and you have, I don't know, 12, 14 hours, which you could do useful, productive things, and you choose to do nothing because I don't want to work when I'm done work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean I don't do productive things. I usually get a job from the significant one.
You don't even do.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Whatever. I'm not arguing with her.
Yeah.
I relax, she gives me a job. That's the point. I'm trying to make.
That's fair. That's totally.
That's what
100% fair.
That's what they do.
Yeah, but that's what you should do.
Usually pretty good at it. I usually get bored and then I'll do something.
I miss being 29.
Give it a couple months, then you'll be saying 30.
Yeah, that's fair. I miss being 30 too.
Anywho, what did you want to talk about this
week? Nice subject change. Okay, so it was long weekend. You had a crazy busy week at your less than 24-hour a day job.
Yeah.
Got to be some crazy stories. Did you run into any crazy people, any difficult clients? Let's start there, because I like to start there. I'm shaking the microphone.
I wouldn't necessarily say anyone was well, Sunday there was a difficult guy to deal with because, I was told I could get this speaker. It's like, dude, you came on a Sunday after Canada Day and you're expecting me to have something? No.
Had he called first?
He had like called 2 weeks prior.
Did he make a reservation, put down a deposit? None of that. Okay.
No. This is a guy who had like a speaker in repair and he needed a replacement, and Long McQuaid will, there's often rules for it, but often will loan a speaker if we're fixing a speaker type thing.
Yeah, which is totally cool and not necessary, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, he came in expecting a very specific speaker to go on loan to him. And when I told him, you know, any other weekend you came in, I could give you this speaker, but it is Sunday after Canada Day, first thing in the morning. I haven't got any of my gear back yet.
Right.
So I'm sorry, I don't have it. Here, let me loan you this speaker. And it took a while to like, and it was a better speaker too. But it was like 15 minutes of like trying to tell this guy, like, this is a better speaker. It's more expensive than your speaker. I'm not supposed to do that. And I'm doing it because that's what I have. So you could take it or, you know, just go away. I don't care.
Right.
I got a line of people behind you that needs to be sorted out. But no, other than that, like, I mean, the difficult customers was just, they were difficult because of the sheer numbers. And that was like production companies.
Oh, yeah.
Like All-Star had like 5 or 6 stages of backline we had to provide them.
Nice.
We didn't have enough drum kits. We had to like have other stores give us drum kits.
Oh, wow.
For the amount of drum kits that we needed.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a pretty much start Monday and we were like, okay, let's start putting people's things together because
you know it's going to be hell.
Yeah. And it was like putting things together until Friday, essentially.
I imagine you had a handful of pickups before the weekend too, right?
Oh yeah. Whenever it's a busy weekend like this, we usually recommend picking up as early as they can in the week because they're more likely to get their gear. And if they refuse to pay what is called the hold charge, it's just like, okay, you're not going to get that gear, so I hope you like whatever we have.
Yeah.
Which more often than not is much more expensive than the gear you want.
Yeah.
The best is always like the people from India. And when they come in and they have like a request and like we've already communicated over the phone with them asking like, do you want this on hold? It'll be this much extra. And they're always like, no. Or sometimes they're okay with it, but the ones that say no, then they come in and then they're mad at us because we don't have their stuff set aside for them. And like, I put in a request, and we have to explain, like, yeah, a request, not a hold, a request. That doesn't guarantee you the items. We told you this over the phone.
Is that maybe a language barrier thing?
No, it's them trying to get an upper hand, because a lot of times these same people are doing the whole, so what's the best deal you can give me on a rental? It's just like, whatever my rental rate is for that item. That's what I'm going to rent it to you for. I actually had a conversation like that during the weekend where like some guy was, or a group of young kids, I'll call them, they were over 18, but they were super young. They came in and like were getting stuff, and like it was bizarre because they had like four or five like request sheets.
Okay.
And they were just trying to figure out what was the cheapest option. And I was constantly telling them, just get these right now for today, from today, for however long you need it for. That's your cheapest option. But they skirted around and were like, what about this one? And just like, can you not see the numbers on that? It's higher than the one that I already recommended you. Needless to say, they got the system that I recommended them. And it took us doing a quote of like the stuff that they wanted, which was like, I don't know, the parties for 100 people. The PA they wanted was probably good for like 500 people. Because of course it is.
Yeah.
But it took showing them that they were going to pay like three times as much for that PA as opposed to the PA I recommended. Then they added lights, and then they were trying to get me to like back down on the price on the lights. And it's just like, I had to eventually just tell them, like, because I had at this point, it was I think it was a Thursday night, and I had like a bunch of stuff against the wall that was all prepped, and I had to point to them and be like, see all these things on the back of the wall here? Because it is Canada Day weekend. I am so busy, and I'm most likely going to rent everything I have in rentals. These people pay me extra to make sure they get their gear. So my rental rate's my rental rate. It's not going down. That's all you get.
If only we could all have that kind of demand for the business, right?
Well, like he used lines like, someone's not going to take it if I don't take it, right? So you should give me a deal. And it's just like, no, if you don't take it, someone's going to take it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that someone's going to take it.
Yep. Well, and yeah. Everybody wants a deal, man.
Well, they're at Long McQuaid. It is a deal. They could go to All-Star, and All-Star will charge them like five times as much as we do. Yeah. And then they'll come to us for the gear.
Yeah. And then it'll be gone because
they took it.
Yeah.
For your party or whatever. Of course, All-Star also provides like engineers and stuff like that if you need it.
Yeah. Long McQuaid doesn't?
Nope.
Just rentals.
Yeah, we'll rent you the equipment. We won't set it up or anything like that, or you provide a person who will utilize it.
That's fair.
We can recommend people who would, but Long McQuaid as a company will not provide engineers or anything like that. It's part of the reason why we're able to keep our rentals so cheap.
Okay. Which is totally fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's enough.
We already go above and beyond what I think is necessary, because we'll teach you how to use the gear.
So tragic. Well, if you need to be taught how to use it, you shouldn't be renting it.
Yeah. But I still do it every weekend. There's always that at least one where it's just like, okay, let me walk you through this. It's going to take an hour for something that should only take like 10 minutes, but whatever. I'll show you how to use it.
Right.
Which, whatever. I get a multiplier on my end of the year stuff because of it, so.
Cool, okay.
Yeah. The company itself recognizes that Rentals has to actually do stuff like teach people how to use our equipment and stuff like that. So they give us a multiplier on the money that we bring in.
Sweet.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
That was my weekend. It was just put things together. Oh, and help a new guy.
You're training a new guy or just helping a new guy?
He's technically done training. He's just in that period, like that area where he's done training, but he's still learning kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I'm sure, one hell of a week for him.
Right.
To realize just how busy our store gets.
Yeah. Yeah. Those explosive weekends are always, or explosive times of year, are always so much fun.
Well, it was
they
like
go
his,
by so fast.
It was his first week as like not, or yeah, his first like official week at Long McQuaid, essentially, not training or anything like that.
Right.
And he got thrown into that. Nice. And I think me and Dylan made it as easy as possible because me and Dylan were doing all the big complicated orders.
Leaving him to
and then
deal
leaving
with
him to do the more simple things.
Yeah, that's fair. It's nice of you guys. That's what that is.
I don't know if it's nice of us as much as like we don't want to piss off these customers because most of the complicated ones were like the production companies like Jazz Fest.
Right.
Like I dealt with Jazz Fest all weekend or all week really. Mm-hmm. All Star won't talk, like the people at All Star won't talk to anyone but me or Dylan. So, I mean, there's that.
That's fair. They can't afford to fuck around, right?
Yeah. Production world, they tend to only want to talk to somebody in rentals, which is usually me and Dylan. Because they need, when they need stuff, it's like really complicated and we have to get stuff from other stores. Yeah, all the production companies, they're complicated and they usually have to talk to one of the more experienced people in rentals.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I mean, most of the production companies know if it's a simple thing and if they need to talk to us anyway. So if it is a simple thing, they'll just be like, oh, you can do it. I need this.
Right.
For this date. Like Jordan from Production World, I think he knows how to use our system. I'm sure if he came in, he could punch in his own requests.
His own request and hold order and process his own payment and load the gear out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Production companies usually charge to account, which then gets billed to them. So
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that was my week.
Did you get out for the celebration on Saturday?
Yeah, went to the significant one's parents' place.
Huh. All right.
Watched the fireworks. I thought that they were kind of disappointing.
Yeah, we felt similar. They were just kind of okay.
Well, that one that they had in the middle that like was super loud and went super high in the air, like that should have been their last firework.
Yeah, we watched it from a 7th floor balcony, and it just wasn't anything spectacular.
No.
Definitely seen better.
Well, I thought it was building up to something, and it just, that last little bit is just like, oh, wow, you just made a fizzle.
I feel like they designed it very two-dimensionally, where if you weren't standing at the right angle, you weren't going to see what they intended.
Maybe.
Yeah.
To me, it seemed like a very small thing.
Yeah. Did you see any of the Millwoods fireworks?
No. We were too far north for that.
We could see them from the 7th floor balcony we were on. We could see them off in the distance. They looked more entertaining.
Hmm. Yeah. We watched the downtown ones.
Yeah. Yeah, same. Yeah. Yeah, it's fireworks.
Yeah.
Fireworks have never really excited me. Or at least not since I was a kid.
Fireworks excited me when I was 18, but that was more like me and my friends were shooting each other with Roman candles and stuff because we were fucking idiots.
Yes. That sounds like that.
Although we left the best for last, which was this like big, gigantic thing. It was just a gigantic Roman candle with different like effects type okay. thing. And yeah, that was the last one. And oh man, I laughed so hard that I actually like fell on the ground type of thing from shooting my friends with that.
Oh, 12 years ago.
Is that 12? No.
11?
Was it?
At least 11. Depends which.
Yeah, 11 years ago. 11 or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Huh.
I know, right? Feel okay. old. Good yeah. for you. Your age is finally catching up to your brain. So I had I have the in-laws in town with me. They flew in Sunday morning, and I've never felt. So they all speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Very little, very very little English, mm-hmm. and my Spanish is terrible, absolutely terrible. I keep getting French and Spanish confused because I know French. I can speak French. And half the words or more that the Spanish use is rooted from the same, but it's different. It fucks me up. Okay. Anyway, so they decided they wanted to see the studio last night.
Right.
So we brought them in to see the studio. I've never felt more impotent in my life. Because I girlfriend
yeah.
who speaks Spanish very well, doesn't understand this world. And they don't understand me because my Spanish is terrible. And I'm trying to explain to her what things are. And she's trying to translate to them. And it's just this big mess. Everybody looked confused the entire time.
Well, I mean, it's fair. This stuff is kind of confusing when to the person who has no desire or hasn't been educated in it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was just an awkward mess.
Fair.
They claim to have been impressed, and that could just be the console looks impressive to those who don't know, and the rooms look nice and all that stuff. But yeah, it was such an awkward. I really felt impotent. That's the best I can describe it. Is I just felt like I'm a useless body here. Yeah. I don't like that feeling, especially in my own place.
Yeah. I've had moments like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, afterwards, people would tell me like, no, you got a lot of stuff. It's impressive. And just like... But there have been plenty of times where, like, working with someone who is probably more used to being in a proper studio, they'll go to my place and I'll just be self-conscious, be like, hey, it's not the same stuff that you're used to.
Yeah.
Because I'm not rich.
Yeah, exactly. I was listening to a Steve Albini interview. K-Pop has been releasing old interviews
right.
As a podcast once a month. Type of thing. Listen to the Steve Albini. And he had this, I don't know, not quite 10 minutes where they talked about feeling like a fraud. And still, this, I think this was a 2012 interview or a 2015 interview, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
He says he still, every time he starts a session with new clients, he still has that day and a half or whatever where he feels like they're going to find out right away that he's a phony. I thought that was pretty interesting.
I can sympathize with them. I know what that
right?
feeling is like. There have been plenty of times where people give me money. I'm just thinking like, why are you giving me money for me just stumbling along?
Right?
Or what I feel like is stumbling along. I mean, I'm sure my stumbling is still like, because it's related to whatever I do, it's still more than they could do. But yeah, there's been plenty of times where I'm just like, I've never done this before. This is going to suck. Yeah. Let's go on the Google to figure out how this works.
Had a last Wednesday, had a engineer from Vancouver rent the studio to work with a girl that he's working with locally.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent, I think they spent about 6 hours tracking cello and then tracking voice.
Okay.
Beautiful recording, beautiful, beautiful singer. Disney-esque, kind of like Disney princess kind of song.
Okay.
That sounds worse coming out of my mouth than it did in my head, but
yeah, whatever.
But that was the style, and it was a really nice thing. But when we started cello, he wanted to do a shootout, for mics. And I recommended the U47, or the clone, the Cathedral Pipes.
Right.
And, he was like, okay, yeah. I had it set up. So I was like, well, let's just start with this one. He hears it. He's like, oh, that sounds really nice. And I'd patched in the Neve EQ and he walks over and like, oh, let me just crank this high end, crank the shelf on it. Right. Like, oh yeah, that's everything I wanted. Okay, perfect. Let's move on. Sound check was done in literally like 3 minutes. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we start tracking. And something on the return from the DAW started to crackle. Ugh. And of course, not my client, not my artist. The engineer is my client. And he looks at me like, what's that? I'm like, I don't know. Shit. Do you have a moment for me to figure it out? Or do you just want to run through it? It's like, he gave me a moment and I, you know, unplugged and plugged cables back in type of thing. But
right.
Yeah. It was tense. Another feeling of, oh my God, I thought I'd fixed all these fucking problems.
Yeah. Well, when you get a 48 channel console, there's bound to be problems.
Yeah. But every time you open it up, you think, oh, I got another one. That's more off the list.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then when they come back, shit.
I've heard of like bigger studios and their troubleshooting or their we're going to install a board process and how they like after the board is put together in the room, it's still a week of we're going to use this 8 to 10 hours a day and find every single thing that is wrong and fix it right then and there.
Yeah, so. Well, you think it's almost been 2 years now, right? That we've had the console, and you think
has it been almost 2 years?
Yes, sir.
Since I saved your arm.
Yes, it's you know what? It's been 2 years since you saved my arm, because that was June-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. Joey, catch so it doesn't trash my elbow.
Well, you had it propped up in a weird way, so I was kind of
waiting for
it. I was waiting for, what was it, a hammer that you had that was propping up?
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing. That was dumb.
It was pretty dumb, yeah. But I knew that it was a possibility that would slip, so I was staying around so that I could catch it if it did, so.
I do appreciate it. So, speaking of feeling awkward.
Fucking thing is heavy. Though
people give you money for 400 pounds, right?
I can't believe I was able to stop it.
Well, I mean, split the 400 pounds.
I mean, it wasn't the full 400 pounds because it was on an angle or whatever, but still.
And it, you know, the front is the light end.
Yeah, it's still freaking heavy.
Yes. Yes, it was. So I got an email Wednesday, late Wednesday night last week. And after 2.5 days of us emailing back and forth, he asked me if I could recommend any other people. He said people that do what I do.
Okay.
I was wondering if you'd go through this with me.
Sure.
And comment like you do. So I want to preface this with I'm almost 100% confident in saying English is not this guy's first language.
Okay.
You ready for this? It's like 48 emails long.
Oh my God.
I know. 2.5 days. So he started off by saying, "Hi, how are you doing? I have a producer, it a king, too long for me to put it in a CD. If I can get it mastered by you for a fair price, I will. You have to break it down, though my only chance needs to mastered and mixed. Have the beat he music to pud for my voice. Have the best already."
What?
This is one of those things that you just cannot possibly make sense of it unless you're reading it and adding in, at the very least, some punctuation.
It's one of those emails, and I've gotten emails like that where I have to spend like a half hour like correcting it to a point where like I think I get what they're trying to ask. I think, well, I mean, in this case, I think it. I know what he's asking. He's asking for you to just master a project for him. Although I don't understand any of the other parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm my first assumption was my first interpretation was he's working with a producer, but it's taking too long.
Okay.
He is misinterpreting what mastering is as a lot of, because he mentioned beat once in here. He's misinterpreting what mastering is, thinking that it's mixing.
Okay, I can see that.
Right. Because he says, needs to have mastered and mixed, have the beat, the music, put for my voice, have the best already. I don't know what that means. Anyway, so my response was, thanks for contacting. I would love to help you with your project. The message you sent wasn't incredibly clear, but if I understand correctly, you have songs that need to be mastered and a song that needs to be mixed. Is that right? I do mixing at this cost. I do mastering at this blah, blah, blah. He writes back. Oh, so I guess that's important. I wrote, I do mastering at $50 per song or $400 per album, which has been my rate for years.
Yeah, that's what I charge.
I do mixing at $60 per hour, and the final price of the mix depends on how long the mix takes. I usually do flat prices if I know the variables, but
yeah,
I have no idea what's going on here. So,
yeah.
So he writes back two different emails. Student, so 50. M hour is Abekoendive.
That might be a word in his native language.
Possibly, right? And then he asks 400 per album, meaning what? And so I explain. I also say I have no idea what Abekoendive means. So I can't comment on that one. Then he writes, 400 in totally in have 8 lyrics with mixed G mean ubunin. Again, another word that might be from his native language, right? Hi, Cyrus. Can you check what you've written? I don't know what you've typed. That's what I write back. And he responds, mastering sounds good. 400 sounds good. Okay. I'm good with that. So I ask for clarifications. I actually explain what mastering is just because I still think he's,
yeah.
You know,
by the sounds of it, he might be confusing that for all in project.
Right. And again, he says, $400 deals sound good. I need it broken down though.
Okay.
See, that can be taken so many ways. I need it broken down. What is that? What could that mean? That could mean
he needs process broken down so he understands it.
Maybe.
Or
what I, from later emails, I started to think he means I need to, you know, pay $50 here and $50 here and $50 there. And we'll do another song later and we'll do another song, but I still want the $400 deal.
I mean, yeah, that's doable. But if it's mastering, you need all of the songs.
Right. So then he starts sending multiple emails at a time. Says, could set up a meeting by complete an album by summer. Mixing and mastering both. Recording time. Meet somewhere. 4 different emails. Kind of sound like he's talking about 4 different things.
It does.
Or at least 3. Okay, so I say, yeah, let's meet. Let's meet at the studio. Here's a time that could work. Oh, no, I ask him when it can work. And he says, whoever you are free, I can come. Probably meant whenever.
Yeah.
His much to record. Probably meant how much to record. Whenever you're free. Mixing and mastering. 400 would do. I have the beat.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So I say, okay, since you need recording and mixing too, that costs $60 per hour for the time I spend working on your music. As to when we could meet, I could meet you tomorrow afternoon. I'm mixing and editing all day, so I could take a break and meet you at the studio. 2 p.m., the address is just below. I have producer, so mastering every song to get ? Do I brought you 8... but you were recorded and mixed in total 400 for mastering all 8. So this is where I really think he's getting things confused. Brought you 8 tracks, were recorded and mixed. Oh, maybe he meant 8 tracks that were recorded and mixed. That would be fine. Anyway, I read that and I thought he's thinking 400 for me to record and mix 8 tracks. He says, way if Panay F the mate off the recording or chorus. Key, so yeah, I would J the SF tapered. It's so much more ridiculous to read it out loud. How much would it be to master one song or twin? That's probably just a English second language thing.
Yeah.
So I explained one song is $50. 2 songs would be
$100.
$100. 2 times 50. When is a goof time to come in one song need mastering? Weekend work to meet up. Have one song if you could help me out. My only chance. Chut giz biz. Og b timing b. I have a song that I would like to record only one hoyer v take on it and master for 1 hour.
Okay, now it sounds like he wants you to record.
Right? That's what I'm thinking. Which day are you? Help me out in that.
This sounds like something where I'd probably just give up and be like, can we either talk on the phone or meet up so we can clear out the details as to what exactly you're looking for?
And I tried to, we started talking about meeting, but he completely ignored my email about meeting. Right?
Yeah.
This one's funny. This one's just downright funny. Probably a typing error, but I need one song mastered. When is a good time to bust you?
That's great.
Right?
That should be a shirt. When is good time to bust you?
Which day is good to meet you for 1 hour of recording and 1 hour of mastering? So now he wants not to meet. He wants to get in to record and master.
No mixing?
Right. And so I say, blah, blah, blah. I suggest some times at the end of July. Okay. Now that we're talking about booking a date and time to work, let's talk about the details of the booking. I go through all the details. Wait, what? Oh, yeah. Right. Right. I should have reread this. I started that email by saying, well, we can't jump from recording to mastering. The process is a little more complicated than that. Recording, then editing, then mixing, then mastering. That's the order of the process, so let's not forget everything else. And of course, because I'd mentioned I could get him in at the end of July, he says, not one day this week you can get me in. I explain I'm booked. Says, okay, then end of July works. Followed up by second week bin to the month M. Not sure. So I say, okay, end of July it is. Do you want morning, afternoon, or evening? I will also need a $120 deposit to reserve that time. He says to master them. And this is finally the point, because this is getting into late Friday.
Right.
So 2.5 days of going back and forth. I need you to be very clear what it is you are asking for. In our conversations, you've asked for recording, producing, mixing, and mastering. Most recently, you've asked for recording and mastering. Now you're asking for only mastering. Is this correct? Please be detailed and clear. He says, earliest to master is end of this month then. No punctuation in any of this, of course. DK, you happen to know any other people that can offer what you're offering? One of his most clear emails is the one where he finally decides, can I offer, recommend anyone else? So, having gone through all that, are you interested?
This doesn't sound like a project I want to be a part of, but I might know somebody who'd be interested.
Okay.
I would have to talk to them first, but
that's fair.
I mean, if you tell them, like, hey, can I give contact information to these people? And then I can pass on the information to some people.
Cool.
Because, I mean, I work with a lot of people who do this stuff, so
it's not a project right.
I'm typically interested in, but I can pawn it off to some people who probably be interested in making some money, yeah, at the very least.
Well, and I mean,
what?
It all depends on what it is the guy's asking for, right? Because
yeah,
at the end of this, 45 messages. My apologies, 45 messages.
That's still a lot.
Yeah, I still am not 100% certain what the guy wants.
Yeah.
You know? And you're 100% right. If we could have gotten face to face, it would have
it's usually a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like even over the phone, it's a lot easier if you can actually.
I have a lot of trouble understanding people on the phone though. I try to avoid telephone calls as much as I can.
Yeah. I think it might be just because of the nature of where I currently work. I have to talk to a lot of people where their English isn't necessarily their first language.
Yeah.
So I've kind of
gotten used to.
I can hear things and understand what they're trying to say.
And for me, it's even just like telephone calls in general. Me talking to you on the telephone would be far harder for me to understand.
Yeah. I mean, face-to-face is definitely the best, but.
Yeah. Well, and for me, I think it's just a hearing issue. Yeah. The particular frequency range that telephones are doesn't seem to work with me as well.
It's easier to ignore a phone, I find.
Easy to ignore a phone?
Yeah, if someone's talking to you on the phone, it's kind of easy to just kind of drown out the sound that is coming out of the phone. That's what I find.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I mean, I usually do it anyway. Actually, I do that for most of what people say to me in general.
Yeah, I can't wait till video phone is a normal thing. For some reason, video phone seems to work better for me. Maybe it is an attention thing. Maybe it is an attention span thing. That's something I'm going to have to explore.
But even face-to-face, I'll ignore people for a little bit.
I've seen like you do it
they,
here.
Well, when they decide to give me this big, long backstory that I don't need to know for a question I ask, like, what kind of piano do you want? Well, we were playing this, and then we tried this, and this, and this, and those didn't work, just like... So we want to try this. Well, you could have just said, I would like this. I didn't need to hear the freaking 5 minutes of nothing that led up to you making a decision.
Yeah, right? Another thing that I've been dealing with the last week that has actually been a welcome challenge. Had a band of teenagers that came to me with, actually the record label came to me with less than a $3,000 budget.
Okay.
Which initially wasn't a big deal until the band and the record company allowed this to happen. The band decided slowly through the process to add more and more songs. So by the time we were done, we had 16 songs recorded, and where were we at? We're at just shy of $1,500 into the budget.
Already.
Yeah.
From recording.
Well,
did you let the record company
know? The way the record company wanted to work it is they wanted to pay for each session as they went so that they could stay on top of the bill.
Okay.
And spread it out. You know, we did the recording sessions over a 3 month process.
Right.
So they, cause I mean, really when I say record company, it's two guys that have taken on this band of kids. They have some other acts that they work with, but taking on these band of kids as kind of a favor to the kids and to the parents and whatever.
Right.
Anyway, so I've really enjoyed having the kids around because one of them at least is a pleasure to deal with. His little brother, who is the drummer, is not at all a pleasure. He is a handful. 14-year-old that chugs Red Bull type drinks.
Ugh.
Yeah, which is the last thing a 14-year-old needs, more energy. Anyway, so... So now I have, I've talked with the record label guys, and we've decided that for these 16 songs, all they can afford to get this song, to get this record done is $1,600. That's all the money they have left. That's all the money they have left in the budget.
Well, I guess they got to pick what songs need to get done.
But that's the interesting challenge, is I told them that based on how we recorded, because the band was, they were pretty scattered when they were here, so I ran the computer like a deck, like a tape deck.
Right.
And that session, just all of the songs we recorded in that session on that session. So there might be, I think there was as many as 6 songs in one session, and there were, you know, 5 songs in another, 3 songs in another, but we only ended up using one of them and
okay.
Stuff like that type of thing. Right. So what I did was I did like one generic mix for each session, then broke out the songs and customized to each, right?
Uh-huh.
So I agreed to the $1,600 and agreed to mix. And this is where I shot myself in the foot. I also agreed to master, for that money. But, I'm going to mix and master all 16 of these songs for $1,600. So it's an interesting challenge to me. To how to
$100 a song, man.
I know, but that's part of the challenge, right? I am going to figure out how do I do really good work
with minimal time.
And what is that? That's That's 32 hours of labor. That's not right. Is that right? Yeah, yeah. 32 hours of labor.
Okay, so right. You're limiting yourself to 32 hours to
I'm work not. On it? I'm not, but I'm going to keep track of
okay.
of how much
try to.
Yeah, and I'm my intention is just to make the song sound good and not worry about the time specifically. I'm just going to keep track of the time so that I know if all of the quick decisions that I made are actually going to pay off, right? And I was was it Thursday night? I started the big thing, and I literally did a generic mix on all five sessions that we had.
Right.
So got a basic generic mix for all 16 songs. Okay. Plus I found one jam that they did that I'm going to throw in as a bonus track. Yeah. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it, but okay. So I got that far Thursday night, maybe by the Friday morning type of thing. And Friday I got through at least eight of the songs to the point where I was as sonically happy as I can expect to be. One of the key things to this whole thing is I found an album and a specific song off that album that while doesn't exactly match the band style-wise, matches the band really well sonically. You know,
okay.
Drums sound similar, the guitars are something similar, the bass is all over the place, but and then the vocal kind of falls within the guy's range. Okay. And so I've been using that one song as a reference against all of the other songs.
Fair.
And it's really helped me specifically target things through bus processing rather than individual channel fucking around too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of multiband compression to cover up some of the in-between, and it's turning out really good.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was the song you guys walked in on.
Oh, okay.
It was one of them.
Yeah, it wasn't sounding bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... The guitars and the bass guitar and the snare drum specifically were all really mid-rangey, and they really, that was one thing the singer really wanted, was he really wanted this mid-rangey punk sound.
Okay.
Now he wouldn't describe it that way. He used a whole bunch of like floofy, artsy, meaningless descriptors to describe that.
More blue.
Yeah, yeah, really. Anyway, so it's been a really interesting challenge, and I made myself this spreadsheet that, and I know you can't really see it from there, but that allowed me to list out all of the songs.
Yeah.
And check off, am I happy with the mix? Have I referenced it against the track and gotten happy with the sonic balance between the reference track and the track I'm mixing? And I added an extra column for something special. Have I put in the time to find something interesting or something neat about the song that I can make special? Whether that's an interesting panning effect, or in one song I do a radio, like a telephone vocal on a couple lines in the second verse, I don't have time to be super creative or super experimental, but pull out some old tricks, try something on every song.
Yeah.
And I figure I'm about halfway through. Okay. Probably close to 16 hours in.
So you're on track?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And at the end of it, that's a really odd look. Oh, you're playing with her kneecap. I gotcha. Yeah. Nah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Funny, but weird. So if you were given a similar challenge, how would you approach it?
Not sure. That's a tough one. Probably do something similar where I just try to
give myself like a, this is the amount of hours I'm going to aim on only using.
Right.
And then do my best to stick to that while doing the proper amount of work needed for the songs.
Right.
Although I probably have told people just to pick X amount of songs and then I would mix those, but whatever.
Well, see, one of the advantages to these songs is most of them are drums, bass, one guitar, one vocal.
Okay.
Right. So
those are
a lot simpler of a mix, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty simple mix in comparison to like majority of stuff I use majority of stuff that I do where it's like I got anywhere from 24 to 32 channels of stuff.
Right. Right. And I think if the songs had turned out more complex like that, I probably wouldn't have been able to agree to.
Yeah, no, there would be no way.
Less than 2 hours per mix, right? Yeah. And so,
well, 2 hours per mix is still not a whole lot of time.
No, but if there's absolutely no editing involved, and I've tweaked a couple of things here and there, but not a whole lot. If there's absolutely no editing involved, then, you know, my average is 3-ish hours anyway.
Although I never do it anyway. I'd always edit. Because I will always, well, if I find the right de-esser, I might switch over. But I will always manually de-ess. Probably, most likely.
You should demo the Isotope de-esser. They just came out with a new de-esser with their RX-6. Huh. And it's supposed to be one of those dynamic de-essers that follows the
frequency.
Whatever that ST, whatever transient, right? Mm. Frequency wise.
At least you didn't have any coffee in that cup.
Yeah, very sad. Very sad. But it's also supposed to be like a vocal noise gate type of thing.
Okay.
But it's not a gate. It's more like an expander. It's more like a variable frequency expander.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah,
interesting to play with, actually.
I use an older version of it because I have RX-5. I use an older version of it on the podcast here.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you could sidechain that could make some really cool effects. Thinking about it.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, even if it didn't work for me as a de-esser, that might be a cool, like, effects chain thing to have. Especially if you could sidechain it.
I think so. Let me open up one of these. Oh, there it is. Is there a... This one does not have sidechain option.
No.
But this is also the older one that's not... Yeah.
Well, if the newer one has sidechaining, that... Oh, man, that could be cool.
Do you do a lot of sidechaining?
Not really.
No?
When I do... Yeah, the sidechaining I do might be like my snare triggering the guitar bus to turn it down by like a dB or two while the snare is doing its hit.
Huh.
Or kick drum with bass so that the bass gets ducked if I feel like I need to have the bass guitar occupying the same frequency range as the bass drum.
Right.
Then, you know, bass drum's going to duck the bass itself by like 2 or 3 dB.
Yeah,
that's fair. Nothing that's... And it's always going to be fast attack and release to the point where it's like as the kick drum is making noise, the bass will drop a bit, but when the bass drum's gone, it's back to where it was already, so...
Right.
Yeah, I try to make it so that it's not as noticeable, but it also brings out the things I'm trying to get out of whatever I'm doing.
Cool.
That's what I usually use it for. But
I still never do.
I still think of weird things of like, oh, I could sidechain the specific frequency of this to that, and that could do something cool.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Follow our hosts on Twitter
at Two Bodies of Water.
You got that mic in a comfortable spot yet?
I'm still working on it.
At Joey R. Engineer.
I can't even talk.
I don't remember what my point was.
This is a boring podcast.
I realize at the end of this, we didn't introduce ourselves.
On to the internet you go. Go switch off.